we're going to study tonight on how the wise men were chosen to know about the birth and coming of our Savior Jesus Christ as a baby. And also, we, of course, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We will be having an in-person service on Sunday. It will only be our midday service, and so I hope you'll all come on out. Amen. So let's get started. It's been exactly, I think, 7 years when I looked at the date that I wrote this lesson the first time. And it's Psalm 72:10. It prophesies, it says, "The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all the kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." Now, that's a prophecy that hasn't been totally fulfilled, but we know that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Christ is Lord. We know that that is going to happen. But the first time, this revelation was only to the three wise men. Actually, the Bible doesn't even say three. It just says wise men. Tradition, because of the gifts, puts it as three, but the Bible doesn't actually say that. So we're going to look at this and the fact that this is such a powerful revelation and gives us a clue to the power of prophecy in the Bible. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." This was partially a fulfillment of that first scripture that I read in the first slide there, that there would be coming kings and others, rulers, to bow down to Jesus. So who were these wise men? Of course, tradition gives them all kinds of names, and as I said, the Bible doesn't actually say there were three. It just says wise men. So we're going to look at that. Now, the wise men today would be called scientists, which right now scientists don't seem to have too good a reputation or a name. But throughout history, those who were considered to be knowledgeable and knew the wisdom of the earth and the wisdom of the stars were always valued. We see this going back all the way in the book of Genesis, where we first see the mention of wise men. Let me go back the right way. Genesis 41:8. "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled." Now, this is Joseph's, in Joseph's day, and we have Pharaoh here who had, God had given him a dream. "And in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh." And here we have a key revelation here, that when we're dealing with spiritual knowledge, spiritual secrets, really the only revelation can come from God himself. No amount of man's wisdom can actually decipher the code or get to the truth. It really takes wisdom from God. And that's exactly what happened. God gave, as you know, to Joseph the interpretation of the dream, that there was going to be 7 years of famine. And because of that, Joseph went from being in prison to being prime minister. That's what God can do when there is a spiritual interpretation, when there is a spiritual prophecy, when God's will is about to be fulfilled. He can take you from the prison to the prime ministership. And so this is the first mention of wise men in Scripture. And we see that they were always at the court of the Pharaoh or the king, because they were called in to give expert testimony, to be there to tell and explain what was happening. And their role was a little bit different from scientists today, because they also looked at the stars and tried to divine or to gather from the positions of the stars stories. Now, of course, we know that today we do not believe that the stars determine your destiny. What determines your destiny is if you have faith in Jesus Christ. But we do know that the Bible tells us that the heavens were there and the stars were there for signs. But they're not there to determine individual destiny. So let's look at the next mention of wise men, which of course concerns Daniel and his three friends. And that's found in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 1. And again, it starts off with a dream that the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was the total ruler of the then known world of Babylon and all of its surrounds, had. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 1, in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, and in those days they were called magi, and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. But again, as I said before, when something is of a spiritual nature and comes from God, the only way you're going to get the true revelation, it's going to take the Spirit of God and the power of God. So of course, the king Nebuchadnezzar was very wise to their trickery. So he wasn't going to have them just give them an opportunity to make up an interpretation. So to test whether they really had the interpretation, he told them that, listen, what I want you to do, though, is to tell me the dream. And of course, they couldn't do that. They said, nobody, O king, has ever asked such a question. We're glad to tell you the interpretation if you will tell us the dream. But only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who gave the dream, could, of course, also give the interpretation. And you know the story well, that the king got very mad and said, I knew you guys were just tricksters and hucksters, and I'm only giving you 3 weeks. If you don't come up with the answer, I'm going to have you all put to death. And when Daniel and his friends got wind of the story, of course, they did what we all should do when we're faced with calamity. They went to God, they prayed, and they fasted, and they sought God. And of course, because this was a spiritual event, it took the Spirit of God to reveal it, and of course, God gave Daniel the interpretations. So in Babylon, there was a group of wise men called the Chaldeans, and this is who, in the end, Daniel became in charge of. But let's look at the story. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. Now, in my other job, my day job, what I do is I'm responsible to bring to fruition dreams that different people have, so to speak. You know, they want something made, they want something designed, and as long as they can tell us what it is they want, the company that I work for, they can build it. But the problem is, many times they don't know what they want, and I always call it Nebuchadnezzar's dream, because they've had a dream, but they can't tell you what it is. And the way you get around it is either God gives you the inspiration here, or you just try something. In this case, Daniel got the inspiration from God. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. But you know what? The king was very smart. He really wanted to make sure that this was not some made-up interpretation. So he said, you know what? Tell me the dream, and then I will believe your interpretation. And so Daniel and his companions said to the king's guard, Arioch, he said, look, just give us some time. We're going to pray about this. When you have some trouble, when you have some decisions to make, when you are perplexed, that's what you need to do, is not go to your friends, not go to your neighbors, but you need to pray about it. You need to seek God. And that's what they did, because this was a spiritual revelation that was needed. And the real wise men are those that hear from God. Amen. Daniel chapter 2, verse 16. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And they prayed and sought God. And God can give you revelation. It's just so amazing when that happens. It's so refreshing. It's a high that that you have to experience when God gives you revelation. And I want more of that. I want continued daily bread. Amen. So we see that these wise men were wise because the revelation of the truth came from God. Daniel chapter 2, verse 19. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. That's what the Bible says in the New Testament. Paul says, if any lack wisdom, you can get it from God. Whenever I was going to school and I was in trouble, I always prayed about my exams, because true knowledge, true learning comes from God. Verse 22, he revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So God supernaturally gave Daniel not only the dream, but the revelation of it. And so he was able to tell the king the dream, which was, of course, the image of different metals, and then the revelation of what this image meant, that it was actually a vision of the world-ruling empires that were to come. And in fact, it's such an important vision that maybe later on in the summer we'll do a whole Bible study just on Daniel's image. But at the end of the story, the important part was that Daniel and his friends were put in charge of all of the wise men and the Chaldeans. They became the leadership of this group of, in their day, scientists, if you want to call it that, because they had been trained in all of the learning of the Babylonians, which even today we get so many things that are passed down. The fact that we use 360 degrees in a circle all come from the Babylonian system, and that we have 60 seconds in a minute and 60 minutes in an hour, all of that comes from the Babylonian way of timekeeping. So we see that Daniel then, throughout the rest of his ministry, received many visions and many prophecies, some of the most important prophecies in the whole of Scripture, concerning, in fact, the very coming of the Messiah. Amen. And even Daniel himself, when he got some of these visions, because they were not for his time, he did not totally understand them. But he asked the question, and God told him, listen, you have to seal up the book because the vision is not yet for fulfillment. In Daniel 12:2, we see this. It says, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, this is really interesting because we're going to come back to this. It says wisdom and light. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Now, the Bible in the Old Testament is made up of so many symbols and types and shadows that point to the coming of Christ and to his ministry and his life. One of the things that the wise men in Jesus' day came across was a star. That's what led them to Bethlehem. That's what led them to Jerusalem and eventually to Bethlehem, because they said they had seen his star. And we see that this is associated with the wise men. Verse 3 again, let me read it carefully. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as stars. Do you understand what the Bible is saying for us today? That we should be the stars that lead people to Christ. That is what it is implying. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. This is a key little nugget of wisdom and a breadcrumb which is going to shine some light on this whole story that is all about wisdom and light. Amen. So Why did God choose to reveal to this group of wise men of his coming? Why were they empowered to take the journey? Why did they even understand that this star that they saw, this celestial event, meant that somewhere far away in some other country, a king was going to be born? How did they come up with that information, and how did they understand that? Well, remember now, back in 500 and something BC, 560 BC or thereabouts, Daniel had been put in charge of the Babylonian wise men. And Daniel had been given revelations of the fact that their Messiah was going to come. Probably one of the most important prophecies in all of the Old Testament is the prophecy of Daniel's 70 weeks or 70 sets of seven, in which it was given to him and revealed to him how long it would be until Messiah came and died. Daniel in chapter 9 starts to pray and to seek God and humble himself, which is always the key, as I said, to receiving revelation. And he's asking God, how long, Lord, before you come and fix everything? Have you ever prayed that? Are you praying that? Because that's what I'm praying. How long, O Lord, before you come and restore everything? How long, O Lord, do we have to wait and put up with all the mess that is going on? That was Daniel's prayer, and he had been praying, and suddenly the angel came and revealed to him one of the Old Testament's greatest prophecies. It says, 70 sevens of years, or 490 years, are decreed upon your people and upon your holy city, Jerusalem, to finish and put an end to transgression, to seal up and make the full measure of sin, to purge away and make expiation and reconciliation for sin. In this chapter, God puts seven things that have to happen before his whole mystery of redemption will be finished. And then Daniel is given some timelines to know when this is going to happen. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the coming of the Anointed One, a prince, shall be seven sevens of years and 62 sevens of years. God gave Daniel such precise numbers down to when the Jerusalem would be rebuilt and to when the Messiah would come. Now remember, this was more than 500 years before Christ was born. This knowledge was known to Daniel and the other wise men of Persia because he was in charge of the wise men. And this knowledge, the book of Daniel, had to be passed down through those that were in his circle. So the prophecy is so detailed that many unbelievers said that it was written into the Bible after the facts because it is so precise. It tells us exactly how many years from the time the command was given to let the Jews go back to Jerusalem, that it would be 49 years that before the wall would be rebuilt and so on. And it gives it so precisely, and we've done several studies that show that, down to the very day that Jesus would present himself as Messiah. When he rode in on Palm Sunday on the 10th of Nisan in the year AD 31, and they cried, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was the first time he allowed himself to be presented as the Messiah, as King. During his ministry, he would tell people, don't tell anyone. It's not my time yet, because the timing of God's plan is precise. The Bible says in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son made of a woman. And so the timing had to be precise. So on this very day, April 25th, AD 31, the Messiah presented himself. All of this prophecy was given to Daniel and had to be passed down for hundreds of years through some wise men. I believe that Daniel taught the wise men of Persia that there was coming a Redeemer, that they should look out for a sign, that there would be a star, there would be something that would be coming that would let them know that it was time to saddle up their camels and take a trip hundreds of miles to Jerusalem and see this great event that had been prophesied more than 500 years to the day before he was born and 30 more years until the day that he would be crucified. How did these wise men know that the star meant a king was going to be born in Judea? Well, I'm telling you how that this had been passed down from Daniel's time. Daniel 2:48. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Now, really, this is history repeating itself. This is the same thing that happened to Joseph when he got direct revelation and told Pharaoh what was going to happen. He too was elevated from being a servant, a prisoner, to being the prime minister, governor. Same thing happened to Daniel. Revelation from God can elevate you. Amen. Then the king made Daniel a great man. And the important part is he made him the chief and governors over all the wise men of Babylon. What I am trying to tell you tonight is I believe this is why the wise men were looking. This knowledge had been passed down in the Babylonian Magi for hundreds of years from the time of Daniel, looking for a sign, looking for the birth of this Messiah. The key was that there was going to be a star in the east. Now, this is quite interesting because there is one book in the Bible that's kind of strange by most scholars' standard. In fact, there was many arguments about whether it should be included in the Bible, and that is the book of Esther. A few years after Daniel lived, the kingdom of Babylon fell, and then the Medes and Persians took over. But Daniel, because he was favored of God, continued. The Magi then, the tradition of the wise men, continued through from Babylon all the way through the Persian kingdom, and they became the astronomers and, as I said, and scientists of their day. And it was around just before 500 BC in which Daniel became their chief. Now, I put up here a timeline to kind of show you the time frame of Daniel. The Babylonian Empire ended the night, of course, the handwriting came upon the wall. And Daniel was brought to come and give the interpretation. And the king again was going to make him the third ruler. But Daniel said, no, you don't have to do that because your kingdom is numbered and found wanting. That very night, the Medes and Persians were able to dam up the river and come underneath these huge walls of Babylon and take over the city without a fight. And then the beginning of the prophecy that Daniel had been given started to be fulfilled. The ruler of the Medes and Persians, Cyrus the Great, gave a blanket order, again prophesied by name that he would give the order for the Jews to return. God is so amazing. Amen. And so we can see that it was during his time that the first command was given that started the return of the Jews to Jerusalem. Then after him came Darius the First, and then finally we come to the topic of tonight's main lesson. King Xerxes, who was also of the Medo-Persian Empire. And he, of course, married someone called Esther, of whom the book is named. And it's interesting that her name in Persian means a star. A star. Let's go back to the New Testament. In Matthew 2:1, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east. Well, if you look at the map of Jerusalem, to the east, directly east of Israel, is what is now modern-day Iraq, or what was then first the Babylonian and now then the Persian Empire. That's where the wise men came from, saying, where is he born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Again, how did they know whose star this was? Well, I believe because God had allowed Daniel to be placed as the head of all the magi, of the wise men in the Babylonian Empire, the story had been passed down that there was coming a deliverer, a savior that was going to be born of the Jewish nation, and that he would be born king of the Jews, and God was going to send a sign. But even before he sent a star, he sent a star. In the story of Queen Esther, which means a star, Esther, there is a hidden story that I believe God put in the book. We find that every year there is a feast that the Jews now celebrate called Purim. And that word Purim comes from the word pur, which means a lot, or a casting of a like a dice, a lot. And on that day, they were supposed to be destroyed, but on that day, because of the story of Esther, God brought deliverance. So I just want to go over that and look at some of the hidden messages and how this story of the star that was going to come from the east developed. So we see in this book of Esther, starting at verse 10, on the seventh day when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded, and now it gives us seven names out of the blue. And I've said so many times, whenever the Bible gives us stuff that doesn't seem to necessarily fit the story or add anything to the story, that's when you need to really pay it attention. So it gives us the names of his chamberlains, his top advisors, seven names. He commanded Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abagtha, Zethar, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king. In the Hebrew Bible, his name is called Ahasuerus. In history, his name is called Xerxes. To bring Vashti, the queen, before the king, with the royal crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen, Vashti, refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. So he then asked his chief princes what he should do. But hidden in this is some code that the Bible has put to give us some hints of what is happening here. Remember I said we find seven names here that are given explicitly, which seem to add nothing to the story. If it had said that the king was merry and he commanded his chamberlains without giving us the name, it would have seemed as if the story would have been just as good. But God deliberately gave some names here so that we could understand that he was giving us some revelation. When we look at the names, there's a little message there. Mehuman means faithful. Biztha means treasure. Harbona means leader. Bigtha in the wine press. Abagtha, God given. Zethar, star. Carcass, bright. Faithful, treasure. Leader in the wine press. God given. Star, bright. See, God was hinting here that this whole thing with Vashti was his will and purpose to bring a new star that was going to deliver the Jews. This whole book of Esther is about the deliverance of the Jews, just as how before they're about to be wiped out, destroyed. But what happens? God sends Esther, a star, as a sign of their deliverance. And in the names, we're given a little message that this is what's going to happen. But it goes even beyond this. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner. Now, you understand, he then brings the wise men who had been trained decades before, and the story passed down from Daniel, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner towards all that knew law and judgment. And it gives the names next of the seven princes. So he brought the wise men and they advised him that he should choose a new queen. And then the Bible then gives us the names of his princes that were going to be involved in the choosing. Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan. Again, seems to add nothing to the story. The seven princes of Persia and Media, which saw the king's face, and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains? Now, again, when we look at the names, we see that that first set of seven cannot have been some coincidence that was just there to fill space, because, again, it's telling us something. It says, illustrious star, the meanings of the names, a testimony to them, a yellow diamond, high, worthy, dignified. So you know the story. They set up a whole search through the whole land of Babylon, of Media Persia, looking for a replacement for Vashti. And of course, they come across, her Hebrew name then is Hadassah, but in Persian, her name is Esther. Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Now in Shushan, the place, there was a certain Jew whose name was Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. Now, this Esther, again, prefigures a deliverance for the Jews, because it was Esther, a star, that in the end brought down Haman and turned the day of Purim into a day of deliverance instead of a day of extermination for the Jews. And exactly this is going to happen again, because Esther means a star. It was a prefiguration, and again, it involved the wise men that Daniel had trained decades before. Because here, a star, Esther, appeared in the east, out of nowhere, seemingly not having anything to do with power or royalty. Suddenly, because of some events, she was elevated to being the queen. Esther 4:14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This prefigured the fact that Jesus came to the kingdom to deliver us from destruction. His second time, he's coming back to deliver the Jews again from destruction. Remember, the Bible prophesies that they shall see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man. We'll cover that in a future Bible study. Matthew 20, let's pick back up the story. So the wise men were looking for a supernatural event, because over the hundreds of years since Daniel, the prophecy had been handed down to the day when Jesus was going to be crucified. They did not know how old he was, but they had an idea within a few decades of when he should be born. So they were looking for this celestial event, prefigured before in the form of Esther, but now actually a celestial event. Verse 2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east. This begins to explain why the wise men had the revelation, because God had revealed it to the chief of the wise men, Daniel. Last week we showed how the shepherds were not just any shepherds, but that God had revealed to them that their work of choosing a lamb for the sacrifice was about to end. And of course, Herod didn't know where to look, but the scribes and the Jewish wise men knew where to look. In the book of Micah, it tells us which town. But thou Bethlehem, Ephrathah. Bethlehem had two names. Its original early name was Ephrathah, which means fruitful. But thou Bethlehem, which means house of bread, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, Yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler of Israel. And this tells you that this ruler is not no just born. It says, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. The baby that was going to be born fulfilled Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He's going to also be the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Because Micah tells us, for his goings forth have been from of old. This is the meaning of the incarnation, that God became man so that we could become like him, a son of God, from the old, from everlasting. Now, these magi, these wise men, didn't just come, but they came with gifts. And of course, even the gifts, the symbolisms of the gifts, have a deep meaning. Daniel in 12, he had told us that many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. I'm telling you, there's stuff going on right now that most of the church is asleep and does not understand. Jesus told us the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. The wise, even though they were asleep, they took precaution and had the oil not just in the vessel, in the lamp, but also in the vessel. The Bible tells us that we are to be wise. We are to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Daniel 12:3 says that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many of to righteousness as stars. We are today to be the star that leads people to Christ. We are today to be shining. We are to be the wise men. We are to be the ones that will be looking for him and leading other people. They were able to say, we have seen his star. We have seen his star. That constellation Virgo, the Virgin, in 2017, lined up astronomically to fulfill what I believe is a prophecy in Revelation. So, I believe we are in a countdown. We are certainly in a countdown. It's time for us, the church, to wake up, to trim our lamps, and understand that his coming is very near. They came to him, not just empty-handed, but God set up some symbols even in the gifts that they brought. The very first gift was, of course, gold. And this represents his deity. The person who was being born was not just a human baby. Yes, he was fully human, but he was also God incarnate. And to do that, they brought gifts of gold. We see this represented in the Old Testament in the construction of the ark in Exodus 25:10. And they shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without. Of course, gold symbolizes his deity, his kingship, his sinlessness, his purity. And thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about it. It was that mercy seat that the blood was sprinkled upon. And of course, this gold represented who he truly was, that he was not just some babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, but he was, in fact, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Then the second thing they brought was this herb, what you want to call it, called frankincense. And I've put a picture there. It actually grows only in a very few places. And it is an aromatic resin that it's obtained from special trees, very big herbs, if you want to say, but trees that grow, bushes that grow into trees called boswellia. And the word frankincense comes from the French, of course, frank incense or pure incense. That's what it meant. And of course, it was the thing that was used primarily by the priesthood. The frankincense represents Jesus' priesthood. that he came to officiate and be the final mediator between man and God. Even now, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, which is Christ. The Bible says he has entered in Hebrews 9, there to appear before God for us. He is operating right now as our high priest. And so the frankincense represented that. And it was the thing that was poured not only upon the table with the showbread, but on the golden altar, representing the prayers and the mediation that was required. The last thing that was brought was myrrh. And that was used for embalming and represented the grave. And it was, in fact, the thing that the women brought to cover his body. The interesting thing about myrrh is, in fact, that Hadassah, Esther's Hebrew name, actually means myrtle or myrrh, which is where they get the myrtle, the myrrh from. So that is also a resin that comes from a thorny bush, and it was used for embalming. And it represented, of course, the fact that he was going to go to the grave for us. His coming was not just to be a baby. His coming was to redeem mankind from the grave, to destroy the works of the devil, is what he said he came. So let's look at that. The three manifestations represented his rulership. They brought gold. And of course, gold represents heaven and his kingship. Frankincense represents the earthly kingship. Jesus the Son reigning on earth in a new millennial temple and acting as our priest. And of course, myrrh represents the fact that his spirit went to the grave so that we could also be redeemed and all the righteous dead. I want to ask the question today, have you seen the star in the east? 2 Peter 1:19 says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto he do well that he take heed. You know, nearly everyone missed his first coming, not understanding the prophecies that were being literally fulfilled right around them. I absolutely firmly believe there are prophecies literally being fulfilled all around us right now, and people are missing it. Peter says this, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto we do well that he take heed, as unto a light, again like a star, that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and that day star arise in your heart. You know who the day star is? Revelation tells us. Revelation 22:16 says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star. Have you seen his star in the east? Because you need to have that living in you. Otherwise, you're going to miss his second coming. It's great that he came the first time, and that is wonderful. But I'm now waiting for his second coming. The fact that God was made man and came to deliver us. And he has set up so many clues, so many little breadcrumbs in the Old Testament to point to the fact that he is the bright and morning star. The Bible says that in Ezekiel that they shall see the sign of the Son of Man coming in the clouds. Amen. I want to be coming with him. Hallelujah. We're going to close this Bible study. I hope it has increased your faith to know that we're one more year closer to his coming. We only have a few more days to close out 2021. Don't know if it's in 2022, 2023, or 2024. I don't know. I do know that there are some signs that are being fulfilled. There are some stars that are pointing to his coming. And if we are like wise men, we will start to follow them. We won't waver. We won't let Herod deceive us. But we will line up our direction with that sign. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. Let it encourage us. Let it lift us up. Hallelujah. Let us be prepared for your coming, Lord Jesus. Help us to lead others to you. Let us be the wise men and women of this day. Hallelujah. Let us be the person, O God, who leads others to you, Lord Jesus. O God, give us a zeal, hallelujah, that we will not turn to the left or the right, that we will be ready, that we will be the wise virgins. We thank you tonight for your word. We look for your soon coming. We thank you for deliverance and healing and for taking us through the many trials and toils and tears. We give you the praise and the glory, and we lift up your name in Jesus' name.